Public Radio at 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. A growing number of college campuses these days are discouraging, and sometimes banning, bottled water. But now a whole town has jumped on the anti-bottled water bandwagon. Concord, Massachusetts, where residents at town meeting 2 weeks ago voted to forbid all sales of bottled water in their community. Those favoring the ban cited familiar environmental concerns, discarded bottles piling up in landfills and polluting local waterways, as well as the oil and energy used to manufacture plastic containers and truck them across the country. These arguments are being heard more frequently lately in these Ban the Bottle campaigns, but they've also sparked a backlash. Beverage companies, grocers groups, and free market think tanks have all critiqued the anti-bottled water crowd. They say these efforts are unfair and misplaced when other food and drink products contain just as much plastic, if not more. Also, they say given concern about American obesity, water is hands down the best beverage choice. Today in The Exchange, the battle over bottled water. Let's hear from you. Do you drink bottled water? Why or why not? What drives that decision? What do you think of efforts to ban bottled water? What about campaigns to discourage its use without a total ban? And what do you make of the overall critique of bottled water? Is it the environmental nightmare it's sometimes made out to be, or are its negatives exaggerated? Give us a call. Tell us what you think. The Exchange number is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR, or send us a short email, the address exchange@nhpr.org. Joining us from D.C. is Katie Kiefer, Activist Network Coordinator with Food and Water Watch. That's a group that works to ensure that food, water, and fish are safe, accessible, and sustainably produced. And Katie Kiefer, good to have you. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us, Grant Bossy, lead investigator at the Josiah Bartlett Center for Public Policy. Grant recently wrote an op-ed called A Drop Less Freedom for the Concord Monitor, criticizing the movement to ban bottled water. And Grant, good to see you. Welcome back.
Great to be back.
Well, and Grant, let's talk about that editorial. You kind of got a big reaction from this, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, I write about the retirement system and the budget and redistricting and all these big, weighty, multi-billion dollar problems. And, you know, okay, you get a nice reaction. I write about bottled water and people went nuts. I mean, people just go, you know, I hate sea turtles or something. And it's remarkable the reaction really on both sides that people feel about this little tiny issue of bottled water.
Well, went nuts. How?
Just tons and tons of letters. Just a big response. People really, really care one way or the other about bottled water.
What do you think, Katie? Is bottled water really this environmental scourge that we need to be so up in arms about?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, one thing I would disagree with right off the bat is that it is not a little issue. You know, water is our most essential human resource. So I think it makes a lot of sense that people are really concerned about, you know, where it's coming from and our right to, you know, good, safe, affordable public water.
How does bottling it, Katie, interfere with this, what you call most essential human resource?
Yeah,
I mean, still get it from your tap.
Right, right. And, you know, the problem with bottled water is that it doesn't make sense for our environment, for our wallets, and for our communities. You know, we can't live without it. In a world where water is becoming more scarce, we need to really be protecting our right to safe, affordable water, not using this resource and allowing it to be commodified for private gain, you know, at the expense of our environment.
Is bottled water, though, taking away, you know, let's say I never buy bottled water, let's just say. I can still get it from the tap, so how does the fact that my neighbor does buy bottled water hurt my ability to get enough to, you know, drink and stay alive?
Right. The problem is that the fact that you can get it from the tap is the solution. You know, we have a system where we have some of the best tap water in the entire world, but the bottled water industry has consistently undermined consumer confidence in our tap water systems. That's really led to a decline in, has related to a decline in federal funding for our public water systems. And our public water systems are aging. We need to be supporting that system so that everyone has access to safe water.
I guess I hear what you're saying, and I've heard that critique before, but I guess what I'm not quite getting from you yet, Katie, is most people don't see this yet as an either or, you know. Grant chooses to drink bottled water, say, and let's say I don't. Why don't those two goals coexist?
The problem is that in the Food and Water Watch, you know, ideologically, there are all sorts of problems with bottled water. And just as we mentioned, the cost, not just the fact that it costs, you know, up to thousands of times the cost of tap water. But, you know, the cost to our environment of, you know, producing all this waste, the energy that it costs to produce it. And so then, you know, beyond that, the humans have a right to water. And so we see a problem with any private interest owning that resource. You know, in a world where water is becoming more scarce, we need to make sure that our water is being maintained and kept in public hands. And often bottled water is just bottled up tap water anyway.
Yeah, about 25% of it from what I've heard. And, you know, I want to get into the many environmental issues that come up, but let's tackle this ownership thing then, Grant, right off the top of the head that Katie mentions. And I have to say, I've gotten at least 4 or 5 emails this morning, and most of them, and I want to acknowledge these folks, Bernadette and Barnaby and Ruth and Janet, all of them do mention this ownership issue. People have a problem with this idea of big companies owning a resource that is basically vital for our survival.
So is food. I mean, we buy our food from other people, too. And just because something is important doesn't mean that it needs to be socialized, that we can't have private ownership of this. And nobody's talking about getting rid of public water systems. And there's nothing incompatible with having a good public water system and having a bottle of Poland Spring. It's about choice. And every choice we make makes us a little bit richer. And every choice that we're denied makes us a little bit poorer. I don't use bottled water a lot. But on the few times where I don't feel like getting a soda or an iced tea, and I just I'm thirsty and I want a water and I don't want the calories, I want to get a nice cold bottle of water. And it's nice that I can go into virtually any store and get one for 99 cents. It's a miracle of capitalism.
Our phone number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. And today in the exchange, we're looking at the battles we've been seeing over bottled water. A growing number of college campuses are discouraging, sometimes even banning bottled water, including a good number here in New England. But we're also hearing about a backlash, those who say, look, singling out water is silly. Consumers deserve to have that choice. Our number here for you to join us with your thoughts and questions is 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. And, you know, Katie, it's interesting. As I was preparing for this bottled water show this week, the news did come out about Americans' obesity rates not expected to go down, in fact, only expected to get worse. If you get rid of bottled water, people who are thirsty have only soda or sugary iced tea to turn to. What do you think?
Well, that's the thing. We need to make sure that we're providing public water, you know, for everyone. And, you know, just because, you know, if I'm thirsty and I want to buy a drink, you know, if I want water and I'm looking to buy a bottle of water, you know, I'll turn to the nearest water fountain. I'm not going to go and buy a soda. You know, there's not a direct, you know, link between not providing bottled water and having people drink unhealthy beverages. You know, the fact of the matter is that water is just a different animal. It's provided for free, you know, to the public, which is why it's so important that we protect that resource, you know, as a publicly owned and democratically controlled resource.
So does that mean putting up more drinking fountains? I mean, we used to call them bubblers or water fountains. Does that mean putting up more water fountains around in public spaces or what?
Yeah, we'd love to see that. And that's one of the things that we do with our Take Back the Tap campaign, in which we support students in these campaigns to ban bottled water on their campuses. You know, there's the avenue of banning bottled water, but at the same time, they're often running efforts to improve infrastructure for public water sources on their campuses.
What do you think, Grant?
Well, I mean, drinking fountains are disgusting. They're really, really dirty. It's a bad way to do things.
Some of them are. Some of them are fine.
But you know which ones are and which ones aren't? You don't know that. And I have no problem with public drinking water or people that want to bring their own water with them or people that want to tote around heavy water bottles all day. Absolutely no problem. Go for it. But why should that prevent me? What is the cost to you because I choose to buy a product that doesn't have corn syrup in it? Because I don't think anybody's talking about preventing me from buying a bottle of Mountain Dew or a bottle of Snapple. They only want to prevent me from buying that product if it doesn't have anything else in it, if it doesn't have corn syrup and coloring and flavoring in it. There's no rational distinction between banning bottled water and banning other bottled beverages. Bottled water is a footnote in the waste stream. I mean, about 6% of the waste stream comes from beverage containers nationally. About 8 to 10% of that comes from bottled water. And about a third of those bottles are already recycled. So we're talking somewhere around, what, a quarter of a percent of the waste stream in non-recycled bottled water. And of that, only a quarter are sold in convenience stores. Three quarters of the bottled water is sold, you know, in case form, like at Market Basket or Sam's Club. So the ban that Concord, Massachusetts has is getting at less than 0.1% of the waste stream, because some people have a visceral reaction to somebody else drinking a bottle of water. It's silly.
Jill, what do you think? Is it fair to just go after water when, you know, Mountain Dew and iced tea and all that? I mean, they're clogging up the waste stream, too. What do you think? Katie, I'm sorry. I called you Jill because I've got an email from a Jill coming up. I apologize.
No,
go ahead, Katie.
No problem. I mean, I think the problem is that we just can't afford, our environment cannot afford the bottled water industry beyond the waste. I mean, the energy that it costs to produce it, as well as the cost to our society. The fact that 1 liter of bottled water, it takes 2 liters of water to produce that 1 liter of bottled water. You know, we're living again in a world where water is becoming more scarce, and this just isn't an industry that we can afford as a society.
So are you saying, Katie, that, you know, the difference between bottled water and bottled Mountain Dew is, you know, water is a vital resource that you need to survive. Mountain Dew, you can live without it. Is that your point? Or
yeah, and the fact that Mountain Dew isn't available out of the public tap, there's no, you know, that's a product that you're paying.
Go ahead, Katie.
Yeah, I mean, that's a product that you're paying for the value of that product that is different than what's already available to us through the public tap.
All right. Well, lots of calls and emails coming in, and we'll start taking them after a short break. 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Emails are welcome. exchange@nhpr.org. And folks, we've got some sixth grade students from a class at Gilsum Elementary. They have a couple questions for us. They're listening right now. So we'll go to those in a couple minutes. Also, we'll hear from the bottled water industry and from someone involved in the ban in Concord, Massachusetts. All that coming up, so stay with us.
Good morning, it's 9:19, and support for NHPR comes from UR members and from New Hampshire Fish and Game, conserving wildlife in vital nature areas for future generations and connecting you to life outdoors on the web at wildnh.com. And from Coe Gardens in Concord, a full-service garden center and florist ready for Mother's Day with blooming hanging baskets and gift ideas for the garden and patio. CoeGardens.com. More on the battle over bottled water on the exchange on NHPR and a 10 on the Diane Rehm Show, the national debate over same-sex marriage. New Hampshire weather today, partly to mostly cloudy, some widely scattered showers. Highs today 65 to 70 degrees. Tonight cloudy with rain at times, especially across the seacoast. Lows from 45 in the North Country, ranging to 55 in southern New Hampshire. For tomorrow, rain ending in the morning, some clearing possible in the afternoon. High temperatures in the 60s. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, bans on bottled water are making waves at campuses around the country and now in one New England town, Concord, Massachusetts. We invite your thoughts on this topic. Do you drink bottled water or not? What drives that choice? What do you make of growing movements on some campuses to discourage bottled water, or in some cases, ban the sale of it? And is bottled water the environmental nightmare it's sometimes made out to be? Have its negatives been exaggerated? Give us a call. Tell us what you think. 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. You can send us an email, too, if you'd like. Keep them short. TheExchange@NHPR.org is the address. Katie Kiefer is with us from D.C. She's Activist Network Coordinator with Food and Water Watch. Also in studio, Grant Bossy, Lead Investigator at the Josiah Bartlett Center for Public Policy, who recently wrote an op-ed criticizing the movement to ban bottled water. Again, 1-800-892-6477 is our number. And before we go to our listeners, both of you, and I think to you first, Katie, are efforts to ban bottled water legal? Can we do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think absolutely. I think that it's a great you know, movement on college campuses and communities of people wanting to really take back the tap to show their public support for public water resources. So I think it's a great and a really sensible move.
Well, so most campuses have just discouraged bottled water if they look at it at all. But some have moved to ban it, including a few here in New England. So legal on campus, Katie, you're saying? Campuses
yes.
can do what they want. They're their own contained communities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what about a whole town like Concord, Massachusetts, that we're going to talk to in a few minutes?
I mean, I think that it's perfectly within a town's right to say, hey, we want our public water, prioritized. We want to make sure that this is a system that people are relying on, that is available to everyone. And so I think it makes perfect sense to say, hey, this industry is a dangerous energy for our community. So we would like to, move away from the consumption of bottled water. And that makes a lot of sense.
Well, I want to bring another voice into our conversation. This is Chris Hogan, spokesman for the International Bottled Water Association. And Chris Hogan, thank you for your time this morning. We appreciate it.
Thanks very much for having me.
Well, we were just touching on this issue of whether it's legal for a community to ban bottled water. What do you think?
Well, we haven't really looked at the legal issues, but as far as I'm aware, towns certainly have the right to enact regulations and laws that they deem appropriate. I do know in Concord's case that that decision still has to be reviewed by the state, but that's really an issue that's going to be resolved in that format.
What do you make, Chris, of this movement on college campuses and now Concord Mass, as we just said, discouraging bottled water or in some cases outright eliminating it? I wonder what you think about that.
Well, certainly from an industry perspective, we feel it's really not in the best decision of consumers, in this case college students or citizens of a town, to ban a particular product for reasons that don't make a whole lot of sense. If you look at it from a school's perspective, if the issue is access to tap water, there is access to tap water. People have the right to bring a container onto campus, or the campus can distribute containers, and people can choose to drink water from hydration stations, from fountains, from faucets. As an industry, we don't have a problem with that at all. Most people who drink bottled water drink tap water. That's fine. I drink tap water. The point is you are removing a healthy beverage option when it comes to a packaged beverage. Bottled water competes with other packaged beverages like high-calorie sodas, fruit drinks with a lot of sugars added. And when you take that option away, you are removing the healthiest option for people to make when it comes to choosing a packaged beverage.
Beyond the choice issue and the idea of plastic piling up in landfills and ending up in beaches and out in the ocean and so forth, another issue that keeps coming up, and as I said earlier, Chris, I got about 4 or 5 emails on this issue this morning concerning bottled water being bought up by large companies, and that water is a vital resource, it's a public resource, and that if companies start commoditizing it or commodifying it, our use of it is threatened. I wonder what you think about that.
Well, I find that to be a very dramatic argument that doesn't have a lot of substance behind it. Bottled water bottlers who access public waters or waters that are owned by municipalities or states must adhere to very strict guidelines. They pay taxes, they pay fees, just like any other organization or entity that's going to withdraw water. I don't hear people saying the same thing about the agricultural business, which is by far the largest consumer of groundwaters. The entire United States beverage industry withdraws 0.03% of groundwater. That's a tiny, tiny fraction. So if the issue is the use of public waters or the importance of water, which is extremely important, then essentially picking on bottled water as a convenient target is not actually addressing the real issue that is claimed to be of the most importance.
What about the idea of bottled water really adding to the waste stream? Boy, you go to the beach and you see empty water bottles, and I went to a recycling center with a group of kids a couple weeks ago, and the bottled water containers were just huge amounts of trash. I wonder what the industry is doing to reduce its footprint there.
Well, obviously, we support every effort to increase recycling, and all industries need to do a better job. The bottled water industry works on a number of fronts. First off is the every bottled water container is 100% recyclable, the label, the cap, the container, everything. And we encourage people to recycle. We work very hard to support curbside recycling programs, to support educational efforts. And, you know, it's everyone's job to make sure that recycling takes place. And if we are concerned about recycling, then what we need to focus on is all packaged goods. And bottled water containers, by the way, are in terms of curbside recycling programs, the most recycled beverage container by far. So people are recycling bottled water containers. They need to recycle more. We all need to do a better job at recycling and find more innovative ways to make it easier for people to recycle and for encouraging people to recycle. But we acknowledge that's an extremely important part of the overall picture.
Okay. Well, Chris Hogan, thank you very much for giving us a few minutes of your time this morning.
Thanks very much for having me. It was nice to talk to you.
Chris Hogan, spokesman for the International Bottled Water Association. Our number here in the exchange for you to join our conversation about this growing movement on college campuses to discourage bottled water use, sometimes even ban it, is 1-800-892-6477. Our guests are Grant Bossy in studio and Katie Kiefer on the phone from D.C. And both of you, before we go back to our listeners, I do want to read you some of the responses from grade 6 students from Mr. Pryor's class at Gilsum Elementary School. They recently debated this question and responded to it, should bottled water be banned? Here are some of the responses, and the kids are listening right now. So Jason says, bottled water should not be banned because if you're on a road trip and you don't have a water bottle, you need bottled water. This, again, is the issue, Katie. I wonder what you think about that. You know, you're removing a healthy choice from people.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and Chris mentioned this also, I mean, the real point here is that we're not removing the option of drinking a healthy beverage. We're just saying get it from the tap where it's publicly available.
But if it's publicly available in what Grant called a really gross water fountain, do you really want to do that?
I mean, I would disagree. I don't think that public water sources need to be gross or need to be considered gross. And this gets back to the point that the bottled water industry has consistently undermined consumer confidence in our public tap water systems. And this is why it's such a problem for our public water and why we do think that it should be outright banned. I mean, the problem is that, you know, for example, the representative from Pepsi in 2000 was quoted as saying that the biggest enemy to bottled water is tap water. And so that clearly sets up a situation where, you know, the bottled water industry is consistently trying to undermine this public resource.
And then there was another comment from Mr. Pryor's class at Gilsum Elementary. This is from Chris, who says, I don't think bottled water should be banned because they're a big help to us. They help stores make money, and we all know the water in them is safe. Now, Grant Bossy, that's not entirely true. From what I understand, bottled water is subject to less stringent oversight than tap water.
Well, half of it is tap water.
Yeah.
I mean, about half of bottled water isn't, you know, captured at a spring. It's, you know, New York City tap water is bottled. So it has the same concerns that public water supplies have in that sometimes something gets into the water and it's bad. Just like any product, something can go wrong. We have checks that are in place. But it's a fairly reliable, clean, cold, convenient product that half of all Americans buy. So what we're saying is that half of all Americans are wrong. They shouldn't have a choice to buy a product that they want because some people just object viscerally to somebody making a profit off water. That's essentially what it is.
What do you think about the point that Chris makes, the impression that bottled water is safe? And Katie mentioned that the bottled water industry has sort of hooked on to the idea that tap water might be bad for you, so you better buy bottled water. Kind of a nefarious way to get people to pay for something that they really shouldn't have to pay for.
No, I don't agree with that. I mean, most tap water's clean. Not always. I mean, in Atkinson right now, in Atkinson, New Hampshire, the state is shipping in bottled water because they found some contaminants in the groundwater. And if we didn't have a bottled water industry, I guess they'd be shipping in Gatorade.
Let's take another call. And again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Deanna's waiting in Alton. Hi, Deanna. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Laura. So glad to talk with you. I am Deanna O'Shaughnessy, and I'm the owner of Chamberlain Springs in Alton. We bottle our own spring water and H2O on our family farm, Sunny Slope Farm in Alton. We are not a big company. In fact, I do most of the bottling myself.
Wow.
So, you know, we need to distinguish between the large companies like PepsiCo and the fact that there are small spring water companies out there, which spring water is a federal definition, incidentally. It is the highest designation that the feds give for water. And so you're absolutely correct. Some of the water that's being bottled is being, you know, taken from various sources and run through reverse osmosis. And it's been my mission to teach people the difference between reverse osmosis waters, purified and mineralized, versus spring water.
Which is what you guys package.
Right, exactly. It took us 4 years and $1,000,001 to get the permit. I don't think most agricultural products have to spend quite that much money, but that's what we had to because the testing is so stringent and the engineering is huge. Now, we only sell in the state of New Hampshire, and we harvest it on our land, and we sell it locally only. And we have both glass and plastic bottles. And we refill our bottles when I go to, farmers markets, I refill, but we also have a self-serve spring water vending station here. And I have to tell you, I don't tell people that their tap water is bad, but they tell me that continuously.
They don't like the taste or the smell or whatever.
Or they have, you know, there's pharmaceuticals being dumped more and more into our systems. Their people have high pH and it eats their pipes, or they have high magnesium or whatever. So they have an issue. So they want to buy the water. And I actually have people come to the water barn. And I just had two customers this week, one who came and refilled 8 cases. The other came and refilled 7 cases, and they bought while they were here because one of them told me he can't live without the NH2O because it's such good water.
Well, Deanna, let me ask you a quick question.
Sure.
So you said it's important to distinguish between the small guys like you and the
right.
big guys. But and I hear you on the fact that, you know, you're local and all that, and you're not using tap water. But is that really fair? I mean, why should people distinguish between you and the big guys in terms of, you know, whether bottled water is good or bad?
Well, I guess it's because people's perception is I think, largely tainted by the fact they think that large companies are swooping in and taking all our water rights. Small water companies are basically taking the water from their own land, and we have to prove that we can go 180 days without any recharge of any sort, include spitting on the ground, without making a negative impact on so much as a salamander, no less our neighbors.
So tough standards there.
Yes, very high standards. So we're not infringing on other people's water rights, and we are basically harvesting our own spring water. We have water. I have a little fountain that springs out of our pond road in the spring. You know, we have a lot of water, thank
okay.
the Lord.
And Deanna, I want to just get Katie's reaction to this. What do you think, Katie? Would you ban bottled water from Deanna's little local company that's, you know, doing it sustainably and selling it locally and all that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely makes, you know, you make a good point that you definitely do have less of an environmental impact, and you probably aren't contributing to the, you know, national, you know, this manufactured demand for bottled water that undermines our right to public, you know, safe water. But the fact of the matter still remains that this should be something that we're supporting on a level of, you know, our federal government, our local government, making sure that everyone has access to this product, you know, through the tap. You know, we still don't think that people should be having to pay, you know, thousands of times the cost of what's available to them through the tap. And so, you know, I think that this really is, it still gets down to the issue of the human right to water and the fact that this shouldn't be a product that is commodified, a resource that's commodified.
What do you think, Grant?
Nobody has to pay thousands of times more. People choose to pay thousands of times more, because there are prices and there are costs. And the cost of a bottle of water is 99 cents. The cost of the essentially free water you get out of your tap includes the bottle, the refrigerator, the filter, the time. I refilled my Nalgene bottle here. It took me a minute 20. I timed it. I put it in the refrigerator overnight, and I brought it with me. It's heavy. It gets things wet. If you forget it in your car, then it gets really gross, and it takes forever to clean. You got to put it in the dishwasher and clean it again. There are costs to using tap water that, for most people, most of the time, are lower than the cost of buying bottled water, which the average American drinks about 21 gallons of bottled water a year, which seems like a lot, but obviously there are users that drink it every day. 21 gallons a year. But we also drink 35 gallons a year per person of tap water. So most of the time, most people think that the costs of tap water are lower than the cost of bottled water. But sometimes they don't. And about half of all Americans decide sometimes the cost to me of getting a bottle of water when I want it, where I want it, cold and clean, in the size I want, is lower than having to cart around your own hydration infrastructure with you all day long.
So you're paying for convenience, not necessarily the water, but the convenience of that water.
Absolutely, absolutely. But how many of the advances in modern life that literally make us richer, not in monetary terms, make our lives better, how much of that could just be called convenience? I mean, I could lower my carbon footprint by never having pizza delivered. I could make it myself, and I could grind my own flour, and I could raise my own water buffaloes for some really good mozzarella cheese. But I choose to do other things with my time. I choose to write for a free market think tank on issues like bottled water, and they choose to pay me for it, which I'm grateful for. And I use my time to earn money so I can buy things like pizza and bottled water.
Our phone number again on the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Deanna, good to hear from you. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. And when we come back, lots more of your calls and emails. Also, we'll go to Concord, Massachusetts, which, as we said earlier, has taken a move to ban sales of bottled water in town. All that coming up, so keep it right here.
Strolling through the park one day, in the merry month of May.
The merry month of May is underway at NHPR. We're giving away special prizes all month, and getting entered into this week's drawing is as simple as supporting your favorite programs on NHPR. When you make a donation by Sunday at midnight, you'll be automatically entered to win this week's prize, a pair of tickets to Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Visit NHPR.org today.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Hearing Solutions New England, where audiologists diagnose hearing loss and dispense hearing aids in Nashua, Manchester, Concord, and online at hearingsolutionsne.com. And from the New Hampshire Moose License Plate Program, supporting the Granite State's natural, historical, and cultural heritage. Information online at mooseplates.com. Good morning. It's 9:40. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're looking again at bottled water and recent efforts to discourage consumption of this product, sometimes banning it on some college campuses. Join us with your questions and comments at 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. And I want to go now to Concord, Massachusetts, to talk to Jill Appel. She's the campaign manager for the bottled water bylaw. As we said earlier, Concord, Mass. Recently voted to ban bottled water sales in town. And Jill, good to have you. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for asking me.
Well, why did Concord, Mass. Decide to do this?
Well, I think this issue, and the first thing I want to do is just clarify that our ban is focused on plain drinking water in single-serve plastic containers. So just to clarify, we haven't banned all bottled water in Concord.
So those big containers that you get for the office, you could still buy those.
Exactly, exactly. And so it's anything that's 1 liter or less is subject to the bylaw. And, you know, this actually, this town meeting a couple of weeks ago was our third approach to town meeting. Gene Hill, who spearheaded this in 2010, was actually initially driven by the litter issue because her grandson showed her a picture of the Pacific garbage patch, and Jean got angry and brought a one-liner to town meeting in 2010, which actually passed, but it wasn't written as a bylaw and was rejected by the Attorney General. Last year at town meeting, we had a formal bylaw, a properly structured bylaw, and we lost by 7 votes. And this year, we were able to pull it off at town meeting. And I think initially people thought Jean was a crazy woman with a crazy idea. But when we looked further into the issue of bottled water, there were just so many issues with bottled water. And I think, you know, I've heard a lot of what has been talked about on today's program. And we are a very active, health conscious community. And we are concerned about the safety issues relative to bottled water, in addition to the fact that it's expensive, that it creates 45 tons of waste for us every year, and that, you know, plastic water bottles are what litter our conservation lands when we do our annual cleanup. And the one issue I think that I haven't heard today has to do with the leaching of phthalates and antimony from the plastic bottles into the water.
So and leaching of chemicals into the water.
Yes.
Uh-huh. When they end up in the river or pond or whatever.
No, actually, from the bottle into the water that is contained within the bottle.
I see, the water that you consume. So serious questions,
yes.
You're saying, Jill, about the safety of the product itself.
We are.
Well, Jill, here's my question for you, though.
Sure.
And we've heard these concerns, you know, that the product maybe isn't as good as it's made out to be, that it causes a lot of litter, that
sure.
It creates the commodification of a public resource. But why not highlight the problems without going all the way and banning it? Why not do public education instead of a ban?
And actually, the article that passed at last year's town meeting was a voluntary community education article.
Mm-hmm.
And we had done a very large public education campaign leading up to town meeting last year. And basically, I think people who do research on voluntary efforts and education, you know, you don't get the change that you feel you need with those voluntary efforts. You can spend a lot of time and a lot of effort. And as a result of the article, the voluntary article from last year, it was pretty much business as usual.
I wonder how stores in Concord, Jill, feel about this. Are they going to be fined if they sell bottled water?
I think from our perception, it's our position that businesses have a business opportunity here. That they can sell reusable bottles, that there are a number of companies that offer bottle-less water systems so that they can provide chilled and filtered Concord tap water, and that there are plenty of opportunities for business to make more or, you know, as much or even more money than they have made, you know, selling bottled water in plastic.
So you're saying there may be an economic benefit to this. Just looking at the face of it, you'd think it's an economic cost. You can't sell bottled water anymore.
Well, I just think that, you know, people will say, you know, change is hard. Change is hard for individuals. Change is hard for businesses. And people are more likely to assume that there's a downside as opposed to embracing, you know, the opportunity.
Well,
business, 20 years ago, we didn't have bottled water. And businesses made money. And now there are all sorts of new businesses that, you know, provide filters that have, you know, we actually have a relationship with Camelback USA where they're going to provide 2,000 reusable bottles to our businesses to sell as part of, you know, kind of helping them make the transition.
Well, Jill Appel, it's a real interesting story. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
That's Jill Appel. She's campaign manager for the Bottled Water Bylaw in Concord, Massachusetts. Our number here in the exchange for you to join our conversation is 1-800-892-6477. And Katie Kiefer, Grant Bossy, let's go to our callers. Tiffany in Durham is waiting. Hi, Tiffany. Go ahead. You're on the exchange.
Hi. I just wanted to make a couple of different points. At UNH, there's like this sort of filtered water bottle station where you can fill up your own water bottles.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
And why not? And at the high school, they have it as well. And it just seems like providing more of those in public places, schools and whatnot, it would be good. And also banning seems like it just makes you want it more. It just angers people. So instead of sort of, you know, banning something, maybe providing more opportunities for people to fill up their water bottles instead of spending 99 cents on a water bottle, you know, or water at the store.
Well, and Tiffany, this is a good point, and I wonder what both our guests think. And I think, Katie Kiefer, to you first, why ban it? Why not just encourage it in these ways that our caller Tiffany talks about?
I think that is important, you know, to like I mentioned before, make sure that there are that citizens have access and students have access to public water sources. Again, the problem with bottled water is that it's more than just, you know, a choice. It's the fact that it's undermining our public right to water. You know, this is an industry that's there are all sorts of costs associated with beyond just the additional cost of you know, the buying a bottle that's something that's available, you know, practically for free from the tap. All of the environmental costs, you know, the social justice cost of the fact that this is a product that should or a resource that should be available freely and openly to the public. You know, these are the costs that are, you don't see when you're buying a bottle that, you know, I think that Jill would agree are all of the reasons why it should be banned.
Go ahead, Grant. What do you think about Tiffany's point?
Well, tap water isn't free. The marginal cost of turning on the tap is functionally free. It's a 0.2 of a cent per gallon, so it's functionally free. But that doesn't include all the taxes we pay to have municipal water systems. Those are good investments. We should keep doing it. We shouldn't have everybody responsible for hauling their own water up from the lake. But just because it's really cheap doesn't mean we should restrict somebody else's choice. And if companies find a need, the only reason they're making money on this is because it's a need that people want, that people have. It's a product that people want. Profitable companies are a sign of providing a service that people want, and it makes their life just a little bit better. Will my life be a lot worse if I can never buy a bottle of Dasani? No, but it'll be just a little bit worse. It will be a drop less free.
What about the idea, though, Grant, that that Katie keeps bringing up and that a lot of my emails have brought up, the fear that as companies buy up water resources, this water is being commodified and could be made very expensive for all of us?
Well, I don't think we're going to get anywhere near to the point that somehow we're going to run out of water for municipal systems, that Aquafina and Poland Spring are going to take up all the available water on the planet. This is the most renewable resource on the planet, the most plentiful resource on the planet. And we're finding new ways to get clean water to more people. This the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has got a machine that takes toxic, disgusting water and turns it into, at the molecular level, into pristine water in a matter of minutes. And there are great ways to get to pure drinking water to people that can't afford it. The easiest way is to ship in a pallet of bottled water. And we see that in disasters. We see that when we have contaminated water tables like in Atkinson, New Hampshire today. It's another option. And just because some people have a visceral objection to what they see as either the privatization of what they want to be a public resource or the extravagance of drinking something, paying for something that should be free, just because some people don't like the choice that half of all Americans make doesn't mean we should ban that choice. I wrote the piece for the Monitor because Phillips Exeter decided to stop selling bottled water on their campus. Good for them. If they want to make life marginally more annoying for their students, that's their right. But the city of Concord, Massachusetts, has already tried banning it once and been shot down because they don't have the authority to do it. And if this goes through, this will get shot down because you don't have the authority as a government to tell people that they can't buy a perfectly legal, safe product in a perfectly legal container because somebody doesn't like putting that particular product in that particular container.
Let's take one more call if we could. And this is Herb in Exeter. Interesting that you just mentioned Phillips Exeter Academy. Herb, go ahead. Thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Yes, thanks. I just want to say up front, I'm a bit of a hypocrite. My wife buys bottled water. I never do, but I'll use it from the convenience of it.
You steal it when she's not looking.
Yeah. I was struck by the sort of contradiction between your having a lobbyist for the International Bottled Water Association and their whole, obviously, philosophy and thought about local control of water. If they have an international bottled water association, they obviously don't think much of local control of water supplies.
I'm not quite sure where you're going with that. So you're saying, Herb, can you give us a little bit more on that? I'm not quite sure what you're trying to say there.
Why would there be an international bottled water association if they thought that individual countries and localities would have local control of their water? They obviously are in business to influence legislation that affects their product, our water.
And as a consumer, you say, again, you don't like bottled water, but you sometimes sneak it when your wife's not looking. So how do you feel about that? How do you feel about efforts to ban bottled water?
I think they're great. I applaud Phillips Exeter Academy, and I don't know the science behind it, but I have heard, and it's only hearsay, that there are some potential safety issues with regard to materials leaching out of the plastic and bottled water into the water when it sits for a long time. So that would concern me as well if those materials are indeed carcinogenic, as I believe I've heard.
And we heard that from Jill Appel, too, in Concord, Mass., concerns about the safety of what's actually in the bottle. I want to also share a couple emails with both of you, and thanks for that call, Herb. Here's one from Skip, who says, as a pro-environmental thinkers, my family and I do what we can to bring purified water with us in reusable bottles. However, I see both sides of this issue, and consumers deserve choice. He says not everyone remembers to bring a reusable bottle with them. If their town bans bottled water, guess what? Now they're driving extra miles to buy water, adding exhaust pollution to the air. A good compromise would be to tax bottled water, then use that money for improved recycling programs. This, again, is an email from Scott in Dover. What do you think, Katie Kiefer? Is this a good middle ground that Scott, our emailer, suggests?
I mean, I think that, you know, again, it gets back to the point that the bottled water industry is just not good for our public water systems. I mean, I definitely think that, you know, it's a great idea to, you know, tax water-based beverages and put that back into not necessarily recycling programs, but public water infrastructure. The problem is that we have our and the case that Grant brought up a couple times, you know, when we have cases where there is poor water quality, that's largely because our public water infrastructure is over a century old in many, many places. You know, that's when Henry Ford was building the first Model T car. We really have had a case where over the past 10 years, with the increased sales of the bottled water industry and this concerted effort to undermine our public trust in our water, you know, we've had declining funding for our public water system. So it's really more than just this, you know, idea that it's a choice. It's a detrimental product for our society.
How is it the bottled water industry's fault that our public drinking water infrastructure is deteriorating? And you're certainly right about that. The pipes are old, the treatment plants are old, and they, you know, most people agree they need an upgrade. But how is that the bottled water industry's fault?
I wouldn't say it's their fault, but it is a contributing factor when they've led targeted marketing campaigns to undermine our trust in our public water, so that our decision makers, you know, they aren't hearing from the public that we want, you know, better public water infrastructure. They're just going to go out and buy a bottle of water. So it's people turning to bottled water when really we should be advocating for better public water systems.
Here's another email that I want to share with both of you. This is from Dallas. He says, I agree with both sides on this one. One argument on the anti side is the concern that big companies will own the resource, which I find disingenuous, Dallas says. He says, water is used in soda, beer, alcohol, fruit juice, and so on. I have great well water, and I don't buy bottled water. So Dallas is kind of seeing both sides on this, Grant. I wonder what you think.
Well,
is there some middle ground here?
Yeah, and I think that one of the ways we could get better outcomes in a range of environmental ways is to go to a more free market-based system where people actually have to pay for taking water out, and they have to then pay for putting things back into the environment. Like,
you mean big companies?
Big companies, companies, small companies, any company. That if we actually have the true costs of using public resources like water, then people use less of it, and we'll find more efficient ways to do it, as opposed to the system we have now, where we basically subsidize and we let people take anything we want, you know, all the water they want for almost nothing, and we then let people throw away a lot of trash for almost nothing. Concord's going this way. Concord, New Hampshire, not Concord, Mass., with a pay-as-you-throw system, which is a market-based way to encourage less trash to be thrown out, encourage recycling, and help pay for the costs of waste disposal.
So if we externalize some of the costs that are associated with this.
Yeah, if we charge the true cost for, say, water withdrawals, I think that would get at it. And that also means charging people in their homes the true cost of the water that they get out of the tap.
Wait, do I hear Grant Bossy calling for higher taxes?
I want taxes on things we want less of instead of productive activity. So if we could replace the income tax system with a tax on environmental impacts, that'd be a great idea.
All right. Grant, good to have you. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Grant Bossy, lead investigator at the Josiah Bartlett Center for Public Policy. Katie Kiefer, thank you again for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Katie Kiefer, Activist Network Coordinator with Food and Water Watch, a D.C.-based group. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producer is Ellen Grimm. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. We have help this week from Todd Bookman. Our intern is Samantha Johnson. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange is now on Facebook. Become a fan of our Facebook page, where you can learn more about upcoming shows and get extra links and material. Our executive producer is Keith Shields, and I'm Laura Kanoy. We'll be right back.